summer series, and this week it's on the reading from Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Isaiah 43, verse 1. Do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. Isaiah 41, verse 10. According to good old Google, there are 366 fear not verses in the Bible, one for each day of the year, including one for leap year. Our list of fears seems endless. Do you have a fear? There's a fear of spiders, of growing old, of your knees. There's homilophobia, a fear of sermons. I don't quite know whether it's giving sermons or listening to them. There's a fear for nearly everything. When I was a teenager, many years ago, I used to put up the flag on our church tower, which was probably about the same height as Farningham, and I would sit with my legs over the edge and watch people go by. There was no health and safety in those days. Now I have an odd fear of heights. I say it's odd. A few years back, I went up the CN Tower with Yvonne and Reese, my daughter, and we went to the revolving restaurant on near the top. They were sitting near the window. I was sitting on the inside, almost like that. Whether I thought if anything happened, being on the inside would save me, I'm not quite sure. We then went up another two floors where there's a glass floor. And I thought that was great. I had no problems with that. I walked along it, sat on it, looked down, and I didn't fear any fear at all. Now I don't even like going up ladders. So fear can sometimes be illogical. And if you suffer from phobophobia, you may have guessed it, it's a fear of fears. Twice in our reading from Isaiah, we hear the words, do not fear, in verse 1 and verse 5. Fear not, do not be afraid. These are the direct commands you'll find in the passage this morning. And they are extreme through our reading. Fear not. But why were these words addressed to God's people? Why did God need to say these words to them? What reason did they have to be afraid? The reason is given in the end of chapter 42. God was full of sorrow as the people of Israel had fallen into spiritual decay, and they had been exiled into foreign lands. Yet he tells them, do not be afraid, for I am with you. He promises that he will gather his people. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. So God reassures his people. For a time they will suffer his punishment. They will face some terrible situations. But God will not abandon them. In verse 2 it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. God says that despite the people's spiritual failure, he will show them mercy, bring them back from captivity, and restore them. He will give them an outpouring of love, not wrath. This doesn't only apply to them. It applies to us also. Whenever we are going through times of trial, feel spiritually lost, or can't see where God is in our lives, he will call us back. For he has created us and loves us unconditionally. He knows the future plans he has for us. Last week, Gary preached from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray, I will hear you. God will never abandon us. We have no need to fear. Because of God's promises, you don't have to be afraid anymore. God says, I'm not going to abandon you, not even to your sin. In our passage today, God promises to comfort his people who fear they've been abandoned. Verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Going through the rivers of difficulty will either force you to drown or to grow stronger. If you go in your own strength, you are more likely to drown. If you invite the Lord to go with you, he will protect you. The choice is yours. You can leave God at the door as you leave here this morning, or walk with Jesus as you journey through your week. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not rely on your own insight. You have nothing to fear if God is with you. In the passage from Isaiah, God gives his people a number of grounds to support his promise. He gives them concrete truths to build their faith on, solid reasons not to be fearful. And they all unpack in the statement at the end of verse 1. You are mine. God is calling us by name. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, it says in verse 7. Being called or summoned by name can mean that you have been chosen or called to serve in a special way. Again, Gary spoke about being called several weeks ago. When God invites you to join him in his work, it can be fulfilling, energizing. It can bring you a sense of purpose. Again, the choice is yours. Are you going to accept Jesus in everything you do, or just when it's convenient to you? The God who created the universe is seeking my presence, your presence, daily and not just Sundays. It's completely about God pursuing us and our presence. He's calling us to honour the honour of enjoying his presence while he enjoys being with us. Perhaps one of the best summaries of all is in a verse from Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, God says. God never promises us an easy, comfortable or pain-free life in this world. This world is a harsh place to live in, and there are many things we may fear. Christians do not escape disease or accident or pain or loss, and some of us could be experiencing times of trial right now, while others there could be trouble, terrible times in the future. In James 1 verse 2, wherever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, so that you may be mature and complete. God never promises to spare us of any of the pain, but in Jesus he does not abandon us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And ultimately, as for the people of Israel in exile, God's promise to us is that he will regather us, even as we face death, the ultimate fear. If we are in Jesus, then we know that it is simply the process of being gathered back to God. There is nothing to fear, even from death. Mark 3, verse 35 that we've just read. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Let us go out from here this morning and live our faith. Let us take God with us, for with him we have nothing to fear. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Amen.
So we stand and we affirm our faith as we say together the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession. Let us pray.
The reply to Lord, hear us, is Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. We thank you that the message of your gospel and love is spread around the world, and pray for those who continue to carry this good news to new places. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We thank you for your creation of the world, for the amazing variety of species, for birds, flowers, sea creatures, and for the human race, whom you want to live with you in heaven. We thank you too for this beautiful valley and for the villages like Ainsford, where we are so blessed to live. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those whose responsibility it is to lead us wisely and in peace. We pray for Theresa May and those who work under her. At this time, we pray for the results of Brexit, that there may be understanding and generosity in the discussions, and that answers may be found to the main problems, including trade and the border between North and Southern Ireland. We pray too for the Queen and for our royal family, that they will keep healthy and that we shall continue to support them. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We thank you for our community here in Ainsford, especially those who give so much of their time and energy. We thank you for our parish council and for those who work to keep the village tidy and pretty. We thank you for the trident, which is so useful in keeping us in touch with one another. And we thank you for those who work with younger members of our village society. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for the sick and those who visit and care for them. Please bless the elderly and those who are worried about them. We pray that they may find comfort in the knowledge of how much you love them. We pray for Gary and Dorothy and the other members of the ministry team as they take our services and lead us closer to you. We continue to pray for a second church warden, that you will call someone to work with Peter and help our church to grow. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we stand as we share the peace. Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We offer one another a sign of God's peace.